Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. Today we're going to talk about what have you recently had with a win. Luke, you've got a story to tell us. What's happened to you recently?
I do. And I've actually, like, when I think about it, the more I think about it, the more wins I have. But the one win that I just wanted to share with you guys, as I was flying out of Hobart, you know, you always have that experience where you take off, you're flying, you're going up, 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 and then you get to the clouds and you pass the clouds and then you're kind of above the clouds. And that symbolizes, you know, you're off and you're kind of up there until you land. And I was sitting at the window seat and, you know, we took off and we're going up and up and, you know, I zone out for a little bit and it's been about 10 minutes and I turn and look outside and there are no clouds. We haven't passed any clouds and I'm thinking, well, are we flying low for whatever reason? Is something happening? And I just realized when I looked around that there actually were no clouds in the sky at all. And we were actually at that, you know, whatever that desired height is. And I was just looking over the water and then looking over different landmarks. And for about 45 to 50 minutes of that hour and 10 flight, I was just looking outside at all of, like, Australia, or yeah, the southernmost part of Australia, but just all of Australia. And I was just like, wow, thinking about so few people would have this experience. And I actually, I'm not one to take photos outside like a plane window when I'm like on that seat. I'm just like, yeah, cool, this is whatever. But I was trying to figure out where I was on the map and I was seeing these parts of, like, you know, the mainland that I'd never seen before. And I was taking pictures and I was thinking, I'm going to go on Reddit later tonight, like on like the R Australia subreddit or something, and like put this up and be like, does anyone know where this is? Because this is just so interesting to see from where I'm at.
Were you flying during the daytime or the nighttime?
I was flying in the afternoon, so the flight, we left at about 5:15 p.m., but luckily, obviously, it's still light out during that time. So I got a really, and the sun on my face just felt amazing, and I was just like watching it reflect off the water as well. It was just like incredible. And I'm also someone that's, I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm getting a little bit more nervous when I fly.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was so relaxing. Like, I just didn't feel there was no nerves. Also, because there were no clouds, there was no turbulence. And it was just a smooth, really beautiful flight. So much gratitude. I was filled with gratitude when I was in that moment.
Were other people looking at the windows as well, or what?
Yes, there was, on my row, there was only one other person, but they were looking out the window the entire time as well.
Yeah.
And I actually had to move back so that they could see as well, because we were both just like enamored by what we were seeing.
That's so amazing.
How beautiful, though, to see that, like, to actually, and you know what, you might not ever see it again like that.
Absolutely. And I knew something special was happening, because normally, again, when I'm on the flight, I look out and I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I go and do my own thing. But I actually didn't even have my headphones on me for that flight either. And I just stared out the window almost the entire time.
So actually seeing the land, did that make you feel less nervous?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. And obviously because there was no clouds, there was no turbulence, or, you know, there wasn't too much wind, so it was very smooth. That also made me feel quite comfortable. But I guess just all the stars aligned in that sense, even though it was daytime. And so I saw all these just amazing. Yeah, it was just amazing. Yeah.
How great. How about you, Dash? Have you had any wins recently?
I really like your win, Luke. And I don't think I have actually experienced a cloudless flight. But the win I will share with you guys. Normally, we used to go to the Botanical Gardens for a walk most weekends. But as Pete Uncle has gotten older, she can't walk as far. And, you know, it's been actually really quite hot, or the weather hasn't been great. And so we realised we hadn't been for a walk in the Botanical Gardens all year.
Oh, wow.
Because I didn't want to take Pete Uncle on my own, because I can't carry her by myself. And, you know, I was pretty sure she wasn't going to be able to walk the whole way. And then I was like, is it fair to take her? Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, last weekend we were meant to be in Venus Bay, but we stayed in Melbourne, and both Scott and I had woken up early enough that I was like, how about we try? Like, it's not too hot right now. Let's just try and take her, and we'll get coffees on the way and we'll see how we go. And she had a great time. And so we went into the Botanical Gardens, did our usual walk. Like, it's quite a long walk, you know, had coffees. The gardens looked beautiful. I took all these photos of flowers, as I always do when I'm in there. And we got to the hill coming back out of the gardens, and that's when Pete Uncle's like, that's it, I'm not walking anymore. So Scott did have to carry her for probably 20 minutes. But it was just really nice, and I was just like, oh, I really have missed being in these gardens, and it is actually really lucky to be living so close to them. So
Think about getting a doggy pram?
Yeah, we talked about that, but then we're like, where are we going to put it? Because we live in an apartment. You know, we don't necessarily have the space to store it. And Scott's always like, I'm happy to carry her. And then, like, we were just having this conversation as to, like, whether I would do a big walk like that without him and would need the doggy pram. Like, would I take the doggy pram without him being there? And probably not. So I think he's just going to carry her. And I've got these funny photos of him carrying her. Like, sometimes she's, like, flopped into his arms, like, oh, my God, I'm so exhausted. But other times she stands on his forearms and is like, I'm still independent, by the way. You're just carrying me, but I am standing on you. Like, it's just hilarious.
I asked because I went for a walk with some friends on Wednesday. We all had our dogs, and one of my friends has a dachshund, and the dachshund was in the pram the whole way, because the dachshund's quite old and a little bit blind and deaf as well. And it was so funny just seeing the dachshund with its head stuck out, just like really enjoying the walk. Because we walked quite a distance, and it could enjoy the whole walk as we went.
I should get one. I'll look it up.
Because they weigh quite a lot, dachshunds. Like, if you're carrying 10 or 12 kilos in your arms.
Well, she's like now, she's probably about 8 or 9 kilos. But yeah, like, I mean, I can carry her a short distance, but I definitely cannot carry her for 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And particularly not like in a bag. Like, it's a moving creature.
And they're so common to see now, these prams with dogs in them. Like, really common to see them. Like, a few years ago, people would just laugh, but now they're everywhere.
It's normal.
Maybe because our dogs are living to a longer life too, you know what I mean? So they're living a lot longer than they used to, dogs. So,
or we're just treating them like babies.
No, as senior citizens.
That's really beautiful what you were saying, though, about going back to the park and trying to make it work. I wonder, did you have a feeling maybe halfway through where everyone was still walking independently, where you were kind of like, oh, this has been missing from our kind of lifestyle. Like, I feel a little bit more full now.
Yeah, 100%. And I think what had happened was, like, we'd spent a lot of January down at Venus Bay, and so we were at the beach a lot more. And then I just feel like February passed us in a blur, and it was hot. Like, it was super hot down in Melbourne. And so we just weren't going for big walks. Like, we'd have to wait till the sun had come down and we'd just go for a walk around the block or whatever, because dachshunds and the heat also don't mix. Neither do I and the heat, to be honest. And so February just passed, and then we were like, now we're in March and we haven't been. Like, that's just weird. Whereas in previous years, we'd go to the gardens after dinner. But, you know, when it's still like 30 degrees after dinner, it's too hot.
You just have to do it, though. You just have to.
Yeah, but
There's always an excuse about why not.
But I think, like, from my health stuff and Pete Uncle's health stuff, it is too hot for us to go for a long walk at that time.
Yes.
And particularly because there's hills and whatnot. But I just don't remember it being this hot previous years over summer, like in the evenings in particular.
When we got married in March, and we got our honeymoon here in Melbourne, and it was the coldest I've ever been in my entire life, and that was in March. And so we've sort of been commenting ourselves that March seems really warm this year compared to normal.
I feel like we did have a cold day recently, but I do feel like it's been a warmer and later summer.
But lovely.
Yeah.
So lovely to get out and do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
My win, I think, just reflecting now, is that we've got friends over here staying with us for a month from Geraldton, WA, and they are really, really good friends. And it's remembering how much fun the city of Melbourne can be and all the things that you can do, because you go out of your way to make sure they have a really good time, and which is what we're currently doing. And you're looking for things to do, and then there's just so many great things that you can do with friends. Like, it's just incredible. Like, tomorrow we're taking a boat to Geelong. We're going to go along Port Phillip Bay for a couple of hours and catch the train home. And I'm actually more excited than they are about doing the boat trip and seeing the city from the water, you know, like seeing all the little places and seeing all the, like probably you and your aeroplane, you know, seeing all the things. I can't wait to see all the suburbs as we go through. And, you know, like this afternoon, I was telling you guys beforehand, we're going to go to Tom's Confectionery Palace. I'm not advertising Tom's, but it's one of the biggest lolly stores, well, the biggest lolly store in Melbourne. And we're going to try out the human claw machine.
You're going to have to send photos.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that I wouldn't do on my own or just with my hubby. And we've been, like, this week, just suddenly at 6 p.m. at night, we suddenly decided we were going to go to the Moonlight Cinema.
Yeah.
And we went to the Botanic Gardens where you were. And that was just, I get what you mean about going back to nature. Like, it was just magnificent. We got there really early, so before the lights were out. Because I just wanted to actually sit in the park and just enjoy watching all the bats going to bed. And there's so much noise in the park, but in a glorious way, you know, just hearing nature. And my friend, she was actually saying to me, like, she really enjoyed it. Like, she'd never been to an outdoor cinema. It's the first time she'd ever been to an outdoor cinema. And so she was sort of saying, oh, what's it going to be like? And we're going, it's fine. You'll be able to watch the movie normally and you'll hear the sounds nowhere, and they had popcorn and, you know, like a normal cinema. So she loved that experience. But it was interesting because we could, there was helicopters above us. I don't know, footy was on or something. And like, so now and again, a spotlight would come across us and you could take your dog. I didn't know you can take your dog to the outdoor cinema.
Yeah,
so sometimes you'd hear the dogs barking and I would have taken my dog if I knew that.
Yeah.
So that was really, really glorious to do, I've got to say. And we took a whole picnic with us. So we had this whole picnic set up and ate our way through it. Yeah, there's just been, you know, we've been to the NGV, we've been up to the museum. Oh, I did a silent disco.
No way.
Oh, my God. That was so much fun. So it was at the museum. So, and there was hundreds of people. I've got to tell you about the silent disco. So they have a 6:30 session and a 9:30 session. We did the earlier one. And you turn up and there's three separate DJs. And so your earphones, whatever light you've got on, matches the light to what DJ you're listening to. So there was red, green and blue. And you can switch over, right? And you just danced. I danced so hard. Like the sweat was dripping off me like I'd done a marathon. Like it was embarrassing how sweaty I was. And like everyone's listening, like you can see there's a sea of everybody listening to different DJs.
Yeah.
But like if a song came on that was an absolute classic, you're going, red, red, go to red, you know. And then if you took your earphones off, people were singing at the top of their lungs because they don't realise. At the top of their lungs. And it was sort of something really joyful about being part of that, like really, really joyful. And a couple of the people who I went with were worried that we were there during daytime, like how much of a disco can it be? But it actually was, you know, that it really was a real disco atmosphere. It was incredible to me the inhibitions left at the door. Like people just got in there, and including the staff. All the staff had headphones on, and we were very close to the cloak checking area. And I turned around, and they were just dancing like there was no tomorrow. The two cloak check people with their earphones on.
But why do you think that's different to a normal disco?
I feel. Well, if you go to a normal disco, people seem to be looking at each other, and it could also be a situation where you're trying to meet people and things like that. This wasn't like that at all. This was just, I'm coming to have a dance.
By myself, but with other people.
And then I was looking around to see if I was the oldest person there, because quite possibly I was, but I wasn't. There was a couple of people my age, I would say, but mostly millennials, millennials. Yeah, yeah. And interesting to listen to. So this was themed 90s.
Yeah.
So this was themed 90s. But the music that people like, so like a lot of my taste was quite different to what other people were listening to. So, you know, they were listening to like TLC on there, and whereas I was listening to the Beastie Boys at my end. I prefer all that really heavier stuff. And like when AC/DC came on, I was so excited. Yet a couple of my friends changed their channel to something else, which is more Lauryn Hill or something. Whereas I'm like, it's like Thunderstruck, you know, like showing my age. But it was, yeah. And they gave you a, we went VIP apparently. So VIP meant that you were given all this fluoro stuff to put around your necks and your arms. And you were given this stick that lights up like a disco stick. But we just chucked us by the side because who wants to dance with a disco stick? But the it has all these different light patterns in that you can do. But when we came out of that, this is my age, the thing I was most worried about was how sore was I going to be tomorrow?
Yes.
But I wasn't. I wasn't sore. How sore was I going to be? Like my neck, because I really danced. But also came out of it just like alive. That's the only word to describe it. Like this is what life is about. It's about just having these joyful moments. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. So there's my wins for the week.
Yeah.
It's been, but I can say to you that I've been so social. I'm a bit exhausted from all the socialization. Yeah, it's a lot. But then I was reflecting on that this morning when I woke up and I was tired this morning because we had people over for dinner last night, socialising even more. And I was thinking, I've just got to get my social fitness up again. That's all it is. It's just getting your social fitness up again, pacing yourself. And it's like any sort of fitness, I think. So, yeah, but then when I do things like that, like when you have these moments of joy or these moments of wins, then that also produces a lot of self-reflection time for me about, okay, what direction is my life going in? And like I need more of these wins in my life because they're there and every day is so precious and we should be doing more of this than watching TV or, you know, like sometimes I think I'm spending too much time on the couch and I need to actually get out more and, Yeah. More around friendship, I think. Friendships are a win. They're such a win.
Yeah.
You know, you forget. Sometimes you feel a bit tired about going out with friends, but then when you get there, like it's just so incredible to spend time with people, you know, like even now, the three of us.
In person.
Yeah. It's just incredible to be spending time. What would I be doing instead? You know, what would I be doing? On my phone, maybe scrolling? I don't know. But yeah, it's just so incredible. That's a win.
That's a big win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like how you were saying as well, friendships and those connections, the strength of them, the joy they bring, it recontextualizes all your surroundings.
Yeah.
And even though you would probably say, yeah, the Melbourne city is great, this is awesome, when you've got someone to share it with, all of a sudden it's like, this is amazing. I completely forgot it was like this.
Because one of the things about the disco was I was doing it with another 7 people. And the joy we had doing that together,
you know,
like laughing at each other, laughing with each other, reminiscing about, because look, I should say most of these friends were my sister's friends, not like they're my friends too, but they're my sister's friends. And so then they were all going back to when they did this as younger people, this is how they connected in their 20s. A lot of them worked together. That's where the friendships came from. And then they would disco on the weekends, you know. They would nightclub on the weekends.
Yeah.
And this is where their friendships actually formed from. And one of my friends was there and he is a single father. He's got a 5-year-old daughter, a single father. And we're busy dancing. And then he takes his earphones off, you know, to have a conversation with me. And he just goes, oh, my God, I'm out on a Friday night. Like, you know, drinking his hand and... like, this is the most exciting thing that's happened to him all week, you know. He's got a babysitter in and we're dancing and he's got a drink. And, just so beautiful to sort of, I don't know, it was just so lovely to experience that. So, yeah, and then, of course, you know, we all get chucked out at 9 o'clock and it's like, because like, I was saying to them, are we going to go on? And they're like, you know, we're all in our, you know, well, 50s really. It's like, no, we're done.
Yeah. Time to go home.
To
and this is the thing that I really like is that I feel like some of the wins and joys and connections that are happening these days have shifted earlier. So I don't know if that's true for your generation, Luke, but like most of my friends are like, we're doing dinner at 5:30 or 6, like not at 7:30 or 8. Like a lot more things are open to kind of accommodate that. And so it does mean, whereas, you know, previously I'd be like, I'm not going out on a Wednesday night. Now I'm like, okay, if it's a 5:30 dinner on a Wednesday night, I'm likely to be home by like 8:30. Oh, we can
so
do that.
Funny. Because we were talking about what do you think the next group would look like, the 9:30 group coming in, and I was like, a lot younger. I said, the music will probably be better. It'll be a lot younger. Because that's the one thing that upset me was the ending song. So the DJs then, they come on, because they speak to you on the earphones, and they go, look, everybody change over to Green Channel. We're going to finish off with one song. We're going to go out with an absolute banger. You're going to love it. And it was Daryl Braithwaite's Wild Horses.
Oh, I hate
literally
that song.
Took my earphones off. I was like, oh my God.
They sing that at weddings all the time.
Oh my God. And people were really into it. People were really like going, Wild Horse. And I was like, I can't stand this song.
Yeah.
So then, you know, my sister and her friends are all singing the song. And I said to them, actually, I'm going to see you outside. The Killjoy. But how can you end on that song? But anyway, maybe that's my generation as a Gen X, you know. That's the ending song.
But anyway. Yeah, but that's a song that plays at so many of the weddings I went to.
Oh, is it really? Mm-hmm. I reckon I've got PTSD from it. I was in Tasmania and I went to this food and wine festival, and Daryl Braithwaite was the act during this food and wine. Look, he was great. Like, I really enjoyed it. But then on the bus home, and because my friend lives out on an estate, and so all the people in the area, they sung Wild Horses for the next 45 minutes on repeat, singing it themselves on repeat back to the property because they're all super drunk. And ever since then, that song is not for me. Even though I can laugh about it, it was a really funny, really, really funny to be part of.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just over that song.
That is hilarious. Oh my goodness.
Hi, Fiona here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. If you enjoyed our show, tell all your friends and family and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. Our original music was composed and performed by Luke Champion.